Through the written word and the spoken word, may we hear the living word, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you may know that I used to be a store manager at Target. It all started out on a whim. One summer, while I was working on my MBA, I decided to take an internship there to help pay the bills. Much to my surprise, I actually enjoyed the work. And I accepted their offer afterwards to be an executive team leader, which is Target's kind of fancy way of saying assistant store manager. I ended up staying for 5 years, and there were parts of the job that I really loved. I loved managing and developing employees. I loved interacting with customers, most of the customers anyway. And I loved getting the employee discount. But Jen really loved getting the employee discount. But there were also things about the job that I hated. I hated collecting shopping carts out in the parking lot during the Tampa summers. I hated working every other weekend. And I hated that because I worked so much, when Robbie was a baby, and he cried when I held him because he didn't know who I was. Something else I didn't particularly like about working at Target was how it changed my experience of holidays. There were no more barbecues on the 4th of July. Instead, I got to help everyone else buy stuff for their barbecues. There were no more Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, or Holy Saturday services with family. Instead, I got to sell people stuff for their Easter baskets. There was no more church service for me on Christmas Eve. I had to close down the store so that we could sell all those last-minute gifts, stocking stuffers, and bottles of eggnog. For me and many other store employees, there was no peace in Advent. Advent seemed to be utter chaos. Advent was a time of preparing the way for higher sales. Advent was a season of drudgery that began, if we're honest, just as soon as the last of the Halloween clearance was off the shelves. During this time of my life, Advent didn't culminate in the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but the good news that Advent is finally over and the 70-hour work weeks were hopefully done with it. I dreaded Advent. I was so busy that I didn't bother thinking about John the Baptist preparing the way. I was exhausted, and I didn't even really contemplate repentance or forgiveness. I was so harried that I didn't worry about waiting for the advent of our Lord. During December, I was only worried about selling stuff, cleaning up the store, and then selling more stuff the very next day. I seemed to count down the days, only this number of days left until Christmas, and it was all over. I never even bothered to wear the purple colors of Advent. It was just the red shirt and khaki pants of the Target uniform, every day, day after day. No heat, no hope, no peace, no joy, no love. By the time Christmas had arrived, I was exhausted. I had missed the messenger. I hadn't heard the voice crying out in the wilderness. I hadn't taken the time to prepare the way for the coming of the Christ child. And as a result, for me, Christmas was always anticlimactic. Other than being a way too short day of rest, Christmas seemed to lack meaning to me. I knew that something was missing. Without the preparation of Advent, I felt no peace. Thankfully, Emmanuel, or God is with us, continually came for me. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit continued to prod my heart to return to the way. Because during my years in the wilderness, the time that I neglected to prepare the way for the Lord, those years were empty. Prepare the way for the Lord. Fortunately for all of us, we have a better example to follow. And so now we turn to the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That line is how the Gospel of Mark opens up. There is no story of the baby Jesus in Mark. We just start with the grown-up Jesus. Now, Mark was a man of few words, and it's indeed the shortest gospel in the Bible. But because the author used so few words, Compared to the other gospel writers, it's important that we consider them carefully. And so to help set the stage a little bit, Mark was written around 70 AD. During this time, Galilee is in chaos. A group of radical separatist Jews has rebelled against Rome. Jerusalem is under siege, and people report that conditions in the city are terrible. People are divided. Jews and Gentiles are trying to live together. Some factions believe that submitting to Rome will bring peace, while on the other hand, others believe that God has brought forth leaders to evict the empire from the Holy Land. Making matters more chaotic, Emperor Nero has just died, and the general who's attacking Jerusalem, he's been crowned emperor. War persists. Oil prices are skyrocketing. Well, olive oil prices are skyrocketing. Where can the people in this time find hope and peace? A small group of people is advancing the cause of a man named Jesus who'd been crucified 30 or 40 years ago. They believed he was the one who would be able to help them. It's with this prologue that Mark announces the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Their story begins by looking back to Israel's past and quoting from the prophets Isaiah and Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This man is a messenger named John the Baptist. And John's in a uniquely interesting spot. He's pointing to Israel's past through the voice of the prophets. And he's even dressed like Elijah. Mark tells us John was clothed with camel hairs with a leather belt around his waist. And 2 Kings described Elijah as a hairy man with a leather belt around his waist. Now, granted, John was hairy from the camel hair he was wearing, and Elijah was simply hairy in his own right, but you can get the point. In addition to pointing to the past, John's also pointing to the future. He's preparing the way for Jesus. In order to prepare for the coming of the Messiah, John is baptizing people in the Jordan River, the boundary line of the Promised Land. It's almost as if he's saying to the people, if you want to cross into the Promised Land, cross into God's kingdom, first you have to repent and be forgiven of your sins. These days, repentance seems to have lost a little bit of its theological weightiness. We often hear repent and think it simply means saying, I'm sorry. But there's really more to it than that. In John the Baptist's audience, hearing the word repent would have meant changing your mind or turning around. They would have understood that not only would you have to be contrite, but you'd also have to change your heart and change your conduct. I really like the way the Common English Bible puts this part. It says, John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. John invites the people to prepare for the coming Messiah by being baptized as a sign that they have changed their hearts and they have changed their lives. In the last verse of our passage today, John tells his followers that he baptized them with water, but that Jesus will come and baptize him with the Holy Spirit. John knew that people's ability to keep the way would take more than a one-time bath. It would take being bathed by the power of God in the Holy Spirit. So here we are in Advent, preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah, and Mark leaves us expectantly awaiting the Holy Spirit. Now I imagine some of you out there in the pews might be scratching your heads and thinking, Holy Spirit? In Advent? And yes, Presbyterians, the gift of the Holy Spirit is something to anxiously expect, even in Advent. As one professor puts it, the gift of the Holy Spirit is the quote, the culmination of the whole story. Like John the Baptist, Jesus pointed beyond himself to one who will come after him. He pointed to the Holy Spirit, who will be a continuing presence in the world. And as we continue to prepare for Advent, the Holy Spirit is here to guide us. I wonder how many of us here are experiencing the chaos of this season. We run from store to store, from website to website, looking for that perfect gift. We spend hours and hours preparing food and decorating our houses. And I'll bet that even some of us have made that famous tacky lights page on the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Compounding our own personal chaos is the chaos in the world. For many of us, it almost seems to be spinning out of control. Hollywood, members of the media, political figures are all embroiled in harassment scandals. Our family, friends, and neighbors are sharply divided along political lines. And there seems to be some catastrophic act of violence on TV every night. Has the chaos overwhelmed the hope and peace for us? I invite you to remember that the chaos felt overwhelming in Mark's time too. That's when he wrote the words to open the gospel, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Those words were as radical then as they are now. And they're radical because they're telling us that hope and peace will not come through more shopping and prettier decorations. Hope and peace will not come through the things that carry the false promise to make us merry and make the world bright. Hope and peace will come to us through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's good news indeed. Jesus is coming and we must prepare the way. That wasn't just Mark's charge to his community some 1900 years ago. It's also his charge to us now. Prepare the way for the Lord. Mark's story is inviting us to see the chaos of Rome and the chaos of our lives with new eyes. He invites us to be with John the Baptist in the wilderness, looking to him for the way. John is pointing us not to himself, but to Jesus. The Jesus who came 2,000 years ago, and the Jesus who is yet to come. Mark is focusing our attention in the midst of all of this chaos on John's message of repentance and forgiveness in the eyes of God. We need to prepare the way of the Lord, not simply by saying, "I'm sorry," but also by relying on the Holy Spirit to change our hearts and lives. The Prince of Peace is the answer to the crisis of chaos. Just 7 short verses after our passage in Mark, Jesus tells his followers, "Now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust the good news." Trust this good news. Prepare the way for the Lord in spite of all the chaos. Prepare the way for the Lord because the kingdom of God is at hand. Come, Lord Jesus. Alleluia. Amen.